Hello, lovely podcast people. I hope you're well. This is going to be quite an interesting podcast, I think. I'm kind of doing it on the hoof, on the fly. But just before I do say that, on the day this is released, Tuesday, 4th of October, the first release of tickets for Matt Nutrition Live will be going on sale at midday. What I will do is I will put a link in the show notes, whatever platform you're on, that you can just click if you are interested in that. We're doing four releases of tickets, so the sooner you get your ticket, the less you will pay for it. So please, if you're interested, go and get that done as soon as possible. If you didn't hear the last episode where I mentioned this, we've got talks on hypothalamic amenorrhea and energy availability with regards to calorie intake and body fat percentage from an eating disorders dietitian. Super cool talk, case study based. Just a question we get so much from our MNU students, from that I get through social media, around the loss of menstrual cycle, or, you know, eating too few calories versus, you know, even when body fat's high or when body fat's low. Just a really cool talk. And then we've got a talk on how we can improve our relationship with food through a somatic/body-based lens. That one, you know, I don't want to speak badly of the other speakers, but that's the one I think I'm most interested in, because it's a very, very new area for me in terms of the research and the, I guess, physiology and biochemistry that we discuss on that with regards to the autonomic nervous system. And vagal nerve theory is going to be discussed, which, it's just not something I'm clued up on. So really exciting one. And then another one, which is just really a very contemporary topic, very popular current topic, is getting clients to intentionally lose weight doing more harm than good. What does the research say? So again, knowing the research that's going to go into, great talk. And then a roundtable Q&A with speakers hosted by me, none other than Martin McDonald. So if you are interested, click the link in the show notes. And it's on the 19th November in Nottingham, UK. We're at East Midlands Conference Centre as usual. And there's the dinner. And this is open to everyone. I hope, you know, I put out my story this weekend. It's open to everyone. It always is. If you're coming alone, we're going to do a cool welcome desk type thing. We always have our like registration desk, but we're going to get a load of nice people to basically, yeah, stand around and chat to people and match people up. It's a bit of an odd one. It's not going to be any kind of, it's not like match.com where we're going to interview you, but it's just like, again, just generate those, some conversation, just because we love people to, you know, actually get to talk to other people. It happens naturally, but I know for some people it's more difficult. So anyway, without further ado, I'll go on to this episode, but let me just say, £99 for a ticket, insanely cheap for what we offer. The hot buffet lunch alone, the education day, the all-day refreshments alone, you know, people buying their expensive coffees, you know, probably rack up that price in a day. But anyway, we provide all of that for you. The best value for money is the dinner, because it's like £47 for dinner, three course black tie dinner with table wine. And then travel. I was going to put like travel on a party bus to the after party venue. And Sarah was like, that's false advertising. I was like, how is it? How is that false advertising? She was like, because party bus, she was like, there's no music, there's no alcohol on the bus. I was like, there can be music and alcohol. Anyway, but just like coach, whatever, the after party venue with everyone's going to be partying, like it's gonna be a party bus, but we haven't put it online for legal reasons. And then queue jump, free entry, access to the VIP area, drinks on arrival, and then the after party. So anyway, I hope to see loads of you there. Would be super cool to meet some people who are just podcast listeners, as opposed to MNU students, or opposed to people I've met before, or whoever. So right, this episode, I basically saw a well-known Muppet of an American doctor who just, you know, sp- spouts so much misinformation. Yes, he does say lots of correct things, which is just a real shame because people see, if they just somehow happen to only see 10 correct things he says, they're like, oh, he just promotes eating natural food and whatever. I didn't realize he was a bad one. I actually saw, what's her name? Danielle someone, an American doctor. She's great. And she called him out, named a load of charlatans. It was really good. But he just demonizes food. And once again, they would hit him and a podcast guest were doing this. And it made me think of a study from 2009. And I've got it up here on the computer because I wanted to read bits of stuff out because it's a really interesting study with regards to what they're discussing. So they were using lots of these silly analogies like, oh, you wouldn't, if you had a sports car, if you had a Ferrari or whatever, you wouldn't put cheap gas in it, man. You'd put premium gas, and that's like our bodies. And the problem is so often they use kind of smoke and mirrors and this sort of, it stands to reason thinking. So they'll go, well, you know, if you put rubbish gas in a Ferrari and it's not as good as putting premium gas, well, it stands to reason that if you do the same in the human body, you'll get the same output. So you need to buy my diet book and eat only organic foods and do this special fasting protocol I've created for you and take these supplements and you will be a Ferrari too and you'll lose body fat. And you know, they'll say, you're not broken. The reason you can't lose body fat or the reason XYZ is because of something that stands to profit them. Now, they were using these things about, you know, food. And so often they'll go, sugar. But really, they hugely demonize just all carbohydrates. So if you're looking, if you want to eat bread or pasta, and even, you know, potato and things that are even less processed, and they'll demonize certain oils. So again, this kind of pertains to some of the one of these studies that I'm going to mention now. They actually demonize the oils that tend to be higher in polyunsaturated fats, and they tend to promote fats that tend to be higher in saturated fat. Now, I'm very in the middle. I'm not as anti-saturated fat as maybe other good evidence-based individuals are, but and I'm not anti the questioning of, you know, the overzealous promotion of these polyunsaturated, you know, vegetable oils that I guess what you would call the 90s era of like, everyone should switch from, you know, this to vegetable oils, whatever it was, lard to vegetable oils. But at the same time, like saturated fat, really, I think in years to come, will become a little bit like glycemic index, will become questionable in its application because we now know so much about different saturated fats and how they seem to have these fairly distinctly different impacts. So the saturated fats that maybe we link more closely to dairy consumption seem to be either neutral or protective in terms of certain health outcomes. And so we can't just go, oh, don't drink or, you know, don't have full fat yogurt because it's higher in fat and higher in saturated fat. And that's bad for you because we know that seemingly yogurt is actually, if there was ever something to call a superfood or at least with regards to its siblings, dairy siblings, it's just this thing that seems to have these beneficial effects, whether that's due to the presence of maybe certain healthy bacteria, who knows? But certainly it's got these saturated fats in it, and we know that it's not maybe showing the negative risk factors that comparing it to the consumption of just loads of butter being a very narrow range of saturated fats, very high in palmitic acid and very low in any monounsaturated fats or polyunsaturated fats. Anyway, I'm going off a little bit. But these guys basically demonizing all different things, sugar, but carbohydrate more broadly, and just creating food fear. And then also the part of their smoke and mirrors is on the one hand talking about the health, the other hand just using this word metabolism as this catch-all phrase. And I do need to do some podcasts on metabolism. I've had listener questions about metabolism and I've done some work, but just it didn't take my fancy. Obviously, this podcast is supposed to be something just enjoyable for me, and as well as something free and helpful for you. And so they use this catch-all term, metabolism, to whether that relates to health or fat loss, they kind of switch it around depending on what they want to get from the conversation. And so they're essentially saying, you know, you won't be able to lose weight if you eat, you know, one of these gimps that I'm referring to, he's very anti-bread, very anti-gluten, very anti-dairy. Again, take that in the context of everything I've just said in terms of what the literature actually tells us. And, you know, just is pretty much like, and some of these messages, they just sound so agreeable. Eat lots of vegetables, eat some legumes. You know, but then he'll have someone else on his podcast who's demonizing legumes because of anti-nutrients or phytic acid content or whatever. But, you know, eat vegetables, eat some grass-fed, expensive, look at me with all my money, meats and organic this and organic that. And bringing it back to this scenario of when people eat these processed foods, they can't lose weight or they are unhealthy. Now, it needs to be said by me that I am not promoting the consumption of processed foods, but I promote the boring, unsexy, conclusion that actually this study, when I just kind of glanced at the discussion, I had never, you know, I've read this study years and years and years ago. I think it's a reference in MNU somewhere. I actually just read this. Our study is consistent with the concept of variety and moderation in selecting an appropriately balanced calorie intake. So it just very, I was like, oh my goodness. You know, that very boring advice. But again, if someone's trying to improve their health, if we look at the different facets of health in terms of being social, not becoming obsessed with food, not doing ourselves harm, you know, not taking on a type of diet or a way of eating, our nutrition, and that leads us to have psychological issues or, you know, an inability to socialize in a way that we find comfortable and good for our soul, and not being fearful of different things that leads to us maybe then ending up binging on certain foods because we've told ourselves they're so bad, but we want them because we shouldn't eat bread, and then we end up binging on bread, and we shouldn't have anything with sugar, added sugar or anything, and we end up binging on them, or even worse, that's potentially not very fair of me, but becoming so obsessed or so scared of food that we just stop eating at all. All of this stuff, I want to promote this like boring, unsexy message of, you know, balance, variety, moderation. I'm not trying to push people to eat processed food. Of course I'm not. But at least to understand the differences of, or understand the truth of, if we really do compare the premium guess of food and the foods that these people are promoting. So this, and this study really is one of the only ones out there that does such an amazing job of doing this. The study title is Hormonal Responses to a Fast Food Meal Compared with Nutritionally Comparable Meals of Different Composition. And they went in hard with what they gave these people. So they basically said a fast food meal, a big, Big Mac French fries type scenario, burger and fries, root beer sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, this kind of devil food. Again, these charlatans, these gimps, these people trying to sound clever, sell books, sell supplements. You know, a good way of doing that is getting, being clickbait, making a big deal out of nothing, finding things to vilify and demonize to generate followings. And so high fructose corn syrup, there was this one. And then again, link it to politics. Like everything in America, you can't do anything without someone calling you left or right wing or something. And I'm like, man, I wish I knew an ounce about politics because I have no idea whose wing I'm in. But this kind of high fructose corn syrup linking it back to the government or conspiracy theories. But essentially, in the UK, we just kind of have sucrose, table sugar. And it's just this mix of glucose and fructose in roughly comparable amounts. But it's like, these things are so bad for us. And again, when we have... This would potentially be another podcast. Maybe I should... High fructose corn syrup... I think I have actually sugar sweetened beverages podcast about these, but the amounts that people need to drink of these sugar sweetened beverages, which I think at least in the UK are now more expensive because of sugar taxes, you have to have so much of them really to end up in some of the scenarios that these people are saying. It's like, oh, if you eat a sugar sweetened drink a sugar sweetened beverage, it's gonna kill your liver and give you insulin resistance and blah, blah, blah. And actually just comparing like glucose versus fructose versus high fructose corn syrup in, amounts that people tend to, and nothing crazily bad is happening to people. High fructose or high sucrose / high fructose corn syrup versus low high fructose corn syrup diets, not having any different impact on weight gain or weight loss. And so we have those. This study, a root beer sweetened with this devil sugar purchased at the restaurant itself. Then, so they basically went out and got this Big Mac, this fast food meal, sorry. And they got, they then did an organic beef meal with, certified organic ground beef. I think they call it beef patties, don't they? And then cheddar cheese, like non-iodized salt, non-fat powdered milk. And so they basically just, everything organic, basically just doing this whole, whatever you want to call it, just this kind of health halo type meal. And then they did a third one, which was like a turkey meal, like turkey sandwich, granola made with organic foods, organic orange juice. So they went quite hard on trying to make them similar foods, but one being this like fast food and one but trying to make them similar in calorie intake and macronutrient intake, because you do get these gimps who are trying to mislead you, going like, yeah, 1,000 calories of soda, man, versus 1,000 calories of broccoli. People will tell you it's the same. It's like, no one is telling you that's the same for humans. And I've said, certainly, again, another reference I'll just pop in this podcast, but I've talked about it before, swapping 100%. So in this turkey meal, it was using like whole grain, whatever, flours for the, I'm trying to look at the details, but basically, whole wheat or bread with the turkey meal. Anyway, so this study I've mentioned before, 100% of the whole grains changed for 100% processed. The difference in the impact of that, again, if we take it back to this energy balance equation, or situation, the difference in terms of like the absorbable energy, how much energy we're taking in to use in our blood, the how much we might waste it with regards to the fiber and losing some of the energy in our feces if we're eating these whole grains. And the difference is from 100%, like thousands of calories of whole grains swapped for thousands of calories of purely processed flours, processed grains, is just, you know, a few dozen. So there is, this is an important thing of like, if someone's diet is 100% terrible, we're talking about meals, but if their diet is 100% processed foods, 100% not good versus 100% like the optimal diet, if we could create one, if we take it back to pure physiology rather than the human as a whole, the difference still is absolutely minimal. And so again, there's this whole idea of like, well, if you're not eating organic, if you're not eating these special foods or whatever, the hormonal responses, your insulin will be off, your leptin will be off. And, you know, the broccoli versus soda situation, or people go, you know, 1,000 calories of soda. I just like using the word soda because it's so American. And not that I've got anything against Americans, but this American doctor, I do, for all of his misleading. And, you know, versus, you know, 1,000 calories of chicken and fruits and vegetables. It's like, yeah, that. No one's saying those things are different, again, because you're not matching the calorie and the macronutrients. So in this situation, that's what they tried to do. And the fact is, often people are being misled simply by the fact that, yeah, you go and consume these meals and you consume significantly more calories than you would if you were to eat in a different way. Like, we understand from the recent, you know, Kevin Hall studies about ultra processed diets versus mostly unprocessed, and I think they did like basically calories per minute consumed in those studies. And actually, when food is much more easily consumed through, again, like if you're drinking your calories, that's probably not ideal in the long term. And if you're, you know, the amount of chews you need to be able to swallow the food is drastically less because it's so processed, that might lead to an excess of calorie intake in the long term. But this is where we come back to health versus weight loss. These whole discussions that had to try and sell you a certain way or scare you into a certain thing are just ignoring the idea of like, actually, we should view things as, what's missing from my diet? If I eat in a certain way, if I choose to eat that ice cream or that processed food or that eat at that fast food chain for this meal or for this many meals, what am I missing from my diet? Is my diet deficient in certain essential fats? Is my diet deficient in certain essential amino acids? Am I deficient in certain essential micronutrients? Am I getting enough fiber from a variety of sources that at our very basic current understanding of the gut microbiome seems to be supporting a diverse gut microbiome and promoting good bacteria overall. Then if I then go and eat some of these processed foods, or I drink a sugar-sweetened beverage, or if I eat some chocolate, or I'm not eating organic food. You know, the interesting thing here being that there's this big oversell on organic foods. There's a big oversell on, not buying things in packets because they must be bad and you must cook from home. Basically, these people who don't have jobs, you know, there's this idiot, what's his name, Carnivore MD, who's, you know, selling the fact that we should all be carnivores and shouldn't be basically eating anything other than meat, it seems. And he just lives on the beach and does nothing else. And people, you know, he did his morning routine. People are like, man, do you even have a job? And he's like, yeah, I have a job providing free, helpful information on social media and my supplement company. And he's, you know, he's just basically someone who clickbaits the internet and sells, clearly makes a boatload of money selling unnecessary hyped up supplements for diseases, probably to support people who only eat meat and therefore deficient in a wide number of things that they should be eating, should be getting from other stuff they should be eating. Kind of gone around the houses here, but hopefully it's just sort of somewhat interesting, somewhat helps you to consider when you're maybe involved in these discussions. Again, you even see like fitness competitors, bodybuilders, oh no, I've actually thought about doing a thing on fat loss and macro counting. So counting your fats, counting your carbs, counting your protein, and therefore counting your calories. And just how really completely unnecessary that is for all intent and purposes for getting lean. And, then going to the extent of like, oh, you have to eat certain foods within those protein, carbs, and fat ratios to get the optimal results, which again, just completely unnecessary, which this, I guess, study links us to. Basically, in terms of the blood glucose response to these meals, in terms of the insulin response of these three different meals, there was just no change. There was no difference between any of these different, really fast food, bad, quote unquote, bad meal versus these healthy, whether it was beef or turkey, organic meals. And there was a very, very small difference in actually area under the curve for LDL, which may be seen as this like bad cholesterol for, I think, the turkey meal. But again, it's so marginal. But it is this thing of like long-term. And this, in saying that, that was thought to be to do with, the potential impact of saturated fat differences in the meals. Now, these people on the internet are demonizing predominantly kind of oils that are high in polyunsaturated fats. And while I, in general, just think people should limit kind of most oils, just because they're a bit like sugar. They're a bit like drinking a sugar-sweetened beverage. That's the carb side of things. The oils, again, they're just such an easy way to just add unnecessary calories to food. Of course, olive oil is probably the best one we can have. But if you like butter, great, have some butter. It's just understanding that it's just such a dense, easy to consume source of calories. And, I guess in a sad, annoying way, once we take care of being sufficient in our intake of micronutrients, once we take care of being sufficient of fiber, once we take care of essential fats and protein, amino acids from protein, we end up with this scenario of energy is the most important factor. So we try and get a good balance and a good variety of foods in our diet to hit those things. But then if you're really active and you want to add more processed foods to your diet, it's not going to lead to these horrific negative health impacts that these gurus, charlatans, gimps will tell you it's going to have. And this is what this study is really showing us. And certainly being able to eat these foods without, you're going to end up ruining your Ferrari by, if you eat processed foods, you're going to ruin your Ferrari by drinking that sugar sweetened beverage. You're going to ruin your Ferrari by, these people, eating bread or consuming dairy. It's categorically not true. If if you're not eating organic, you're going to ruin the Ferrari. Like I said, I'll link you to this study. It's just a very interesting, nice that someone's actually gone out of their way to do a study like this. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say with regards to this. I think the key thing that was just of interest over the long term, if someone's doing this, what are they missing? we might see something different. But when calories are matched, so this is just what I wanted to say. It's difficult for me because I'm unpacking their ridiculous conversations. But they'll say things like, you know, if you give your car the right fuel, the right gas, then, and they're like, then if you do that with your body, it's your metabolism is just going to right itself. And they basically make out as though if you eat these fancy foods or take these supplements or do these certain things, your metabolism, whatever they mean by that word, is going to right itself, whatever that means. And suddenly, you know, you're going to lose body fat. And it's like, it's just not how things work. If we were seeing this epidemic of individuals with really slow metabolisms who regulate fast food, that might be the case, but that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing people who are gaining body fat over their life cycle by lack of physical activity and eating too much. And weighing more than they want to with fast metabolisms, because their metabolism and your metabolic rate is hugely, mostly dependent on your body weight. And then to a lesser extent, your body composition. So yes, having more muscle than body fat, or more muscle proportional to body fat, your metabolic rate is going to be slightly faster, but only marginally faster. So that's another important thing to be aware of is, oh, you need to lift weight so you boost your metabolism. And then the difference in metabolic rate is just so, so small with regards to these things. So yes, I will... I'm trying to think if there's anything else in this study that just was interesting to look at, but it just showed that when you're kind of going, the pattern of nutrient and hormonal response was similar for a given subject to each of the three meals. As I said, the only statistical significant was the acute difference in LDL. Other metabolic responses were not different. That's it. Yeah, I'll link this kind of studies that I've loosely mentioned within this, the whole study, this study, the process versus the whole grains versus processed grains study. And, if you're a practitioner, hopefully it's just solidifying what you knew / what you're doing with clients. Those of you who are just people in the general public, you don't need to worry about organic. You don't need to worry about things on a meal by meal basis. You don't need to listen to these charlatans shouting about putting the premium gas into your holes. Cool. I hope to see some of you at Mount Nutrition Live. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. Until next time, much love.